You'll turn to Acts chapter 8. We've been looking at sharing our faith and looking at personal evangelism and just turning everyday conversations into opportunities to share the gospel. And this one is a little bit different, but it represents something that all of us as the children of God face. We believe in the sovereignty of God. We have the Holy Spirit within us, and if we are following after God and we are determined and we desire to be used by God to increase the kingdom, to share the gospel, then we will all experience what we call divine appointments. And I don't know about you, but I know of times in my life where there has been a divine appointment. Opportunities have risen up. People I've met with the absolute understanding that this is a God thing. That this is something God has orchestrated and God has put me here at this time for this purpose to speak into somebody's life. And if we're in tune with the Spirit, if we're desiring to be used by God, He will create divine appointments. The problem is, most of the time, I miss them. Because I'm not in tune with the Spirit. I'm not listening for His voice. I'm not looking for His direction because I have an agenda. I have my day mapped out. I'm on a mission, and I can't be deterred from that mission. Whether it's just simply running to Walmart to pick something up, or I've got to go see somebody in the hospital, or I've got to go here and I've got to sit down and I've got to spend some time reading my Bible and I've got to spend some time in studying. I've got an agenda and my day is pretty much mapped out. And I can't deviate one way or the other. That is not being a Spirit-led Christian. Okay? Now, we all have things we have to do. We all have responsibilities we have to fulfill. But in the middle of those responsibilities, nothing can take precedence over those divine appointments and listening to the voice of God. You can still do your job and still speak in the lives of people that God puts in your path. You don't have to take away from your obligations for work. You don't have to take away from your obligations to family. You don't even have to really take away your plans. You just have to leave some space in there and be willing that in the middle of my plan, in the middle of this mission I'm on, if the Holy Spirit tells me to do something, the Holy Spirit guides me to do something, the Holy Spirit perks my or piques my interest or my ear, my heart, however you want to describe it, to speak into somebody's life, I've got to be willing to do that. If I'm going to be an effective kingdom ambassador, I cannot let my agenda, my purpose, my plan for the day override the voice of God. So number one, most of the time, I just don't listen because I'm just too busy. I've got things on my mind. The second thing is, far too often, I'm too busy trying to make sure I get my agenda done than a kingdom agenda. Now, it's along the same lines, but I'm too focused on what I think I need to be doing. You know, I'm too focused on what task I'm supposed to be doing. And I'm trying to, you know, I'm trying to be honest, I'm trying to help grow this church. I want us to reach more people. I do want us to increase in number. But it's not about just increasing in number for the sake of increasing in numbers. I want to see lost people saved. Amen. You know? And when you see lost people saved, the church is going to grow. That's what we're here for. God saved us so that we could be ambassadors and we could be inviting people to Him in salvation. We need to be about doing that. But if we're too busy doing the programs rather than focusing on the purpose, then we're going to miss those divine appointments. So we've got to be careful about what we're doing and make sure that programs don't become our mission and our focus. You know, there are ways of doing things. There are some things that are more effective than others. But a lot of times, and I'm getting a little bit off here, but sometimes we're so in love with a program that we're not willing to get off of it when it's dead. You know? We still want to ride that dead horse. It's just not effective anymore. It was effective for a season, it was fantastic for its purpose and its time. But sometimes you just got to swap horses. I'm off my soapbox. Now let's get back to sharing the gospel. Well, Today I want us to look at an example of a man, his name's Philip, who loved Jesus and was focused on hearing from God and being used by God. And he was being used by God in a mighty way. And in this passage we're going to look at, this is the focus is going to be on Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. It's an event that you know all about. But I think it helps us, it's helped me, to be reminded that we are about listening for God and making sure that we make the divine appointments that God has set up for us. And we don't overlook them, we don't bypass them, we don't get too busy, even in good things, to focus on and to make those divine appointments and make the most of them. Well, in Acts chapter 8, we see Philip is doing some fantastic things. He's left Jerusalem, persecution in Jerusalem has started, and he's going around, he's sharing the gospel, and he is in the middle of one of the first major evangelistic events. This is after Pentecost. A lot of people have been saved in Jerusalem, but this is when the evangelism team heads out. And they're out sharing the gospel, and Philip is seeing a lot of Samaritans being saved. God's doing a great work. But in the middle of that great work, the Holy Spirit speaks, says, Philip, I want you to leave and go out here in the middle of the desert. Now, if Philip was like me, Philip would have been too busy in this good thing. He'd have been too busy in the program that seemed to be going really well. Say, God, I just can't go. I can't leave. I'm doing some good stuff right here. My plan, my agenda is I'm going to keep preaching. I'm going to keep people being saved. I'm going to disciple these folks. I'm going to spend as much time as I can right here because, like Henry Blackaby said, where you see God working, join in. So you're working here, so I'm going to join in. I'm going to get busy right here. But because he was focused on God and God's purpose for his life rather than just being involved in a good thing, he was willing to go. So we're going to pick up in verse 25, chapter 8. And I want us to look at not only the divine appointment, but the way he shared the gospel. In verse 25 it says, so when they had solemnly testified and spoken the word of the Lord and started back to Jerusalem, and the preaching of the gospel to many villages of the Samaritans, but an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip and said, get up and go to the south road that descends from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is the desert road. So he got up and went, and there was an Ethiopian eunuch of the court of Candace, queen of Ethiopia, who was in charge of her treasure, excuse me. And he had come to Jerusalem to worship. And he was returning and sitting in his chariot and was reading the prophet Isaiah. Then the Spirit said to Philip, go up and join this chariot. So Philip ran up and he heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and said to him, do you understand what you're reading? And he said, well, how could I unless somebody guides me? And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the passage of Scripture which he was reading was this, and he was led by as a sheep to slaughter, as a lamb before its shearers is silent, so he does not open his mouth. In humiliation his judgment was taken away. Who will relate his generation? For his life is removed from the earth. And the eunuch answered to Philip and said, please tell me, of whom does the prophet say this, of himself or of someone else? And then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning from this scripture, he preached Jesus to him. And when he had went along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, water, what prevents me from being baptized? And this, you see it in brackets, probably in your Bible. It's something that was added in a little later. It says, and Philip said, if you believe with your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus is Christ, is the Son of God. And he ordered the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip as well as the eunuch, and he baptized him. Let's pray. Lord God, I thank you so much that you are willing, you are desiring to guide us divine appointments. Lord, for some unforeseen and unknown reason, Lord, you have chosen to use us to spread your gospel. You've chosen and ordained that your church, your followers, your children would be the ones that would take the gospel to all the parts of the world and make disciples of all the nations. To speak the truth into the lives of people, to remove or speak light into the darkness, and Lord, help answer their questions. And so God, I pray that we would be found faithful in doing just that. We would be faithful in listening to your voice. We'd be faithful in obeying. We'd be faithful to seek out divine appointments, and we'd be faithful to answer questions, to be prepared, to help people understand who you really are. And Lord, I pray that you'd use this time to challenge us, to rebuke us, to transform us, and to equip us to be better suited for the task you've given us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. So again, Philip is really busy and a very good thing. He's sharing the gospel, and a lot of Samaritans are being saved. And it's just a really good time. And it says the angel, the messenger of God, the Holy Spirit speaks to Philip and says, look, I want you to go down here on this desert road where there's nobody normally. And I want you to just go. He didn't even tell him who he's meeting. He didn't tell him what he's going for. He just said, go down this road to the south, which leads to Gaza, the desert road. And he goes in obedience. He heads off. And he gets down there, and the only person he sees is this Ethiopian eunuch, this guy riding on a chariot. He can tell he's well-to-do. He can tell that he's wealthy. He can tell that he is very important, first of all, by his dress. Second of all, that he's riding a chariot. He wasn't riding in some ox cart. It was a chariot. He is somebody of importance. So he goes, and he runs up beside this chariot, and he begins to listen to what this guy's doing. He's reading from the book of Isaiah. Now, Luke describes this Ethiopian eunuch as one who has gone to Jerusalem to worship. That means he's a God-fearer. He went there to worship Yahweh. He went there to worship God. And he's heading back, and he's reading probably a passage that he heard in the temple while he was there. Second thing that tells you that he's well-to-do is he's got a copy of Scripture. That wasn't something just everybody had. There were copies in the temple. There might be a few floating around in some of the towns that have enough money to pay somebody to copy the Scripture. But having a copy of Scripture was a big deal. It means that you had some money and was well-to-do. So he's reading from this passage. And Philip just says, hey, do you understand what you're reading? I want you to notice that not only did he listen to God and go, he went, but he was willing to speak to a stranger. He was willing to make the first move. He was willing to open the conversation. He saw where the guy was, saw that he was reading Scripture, and he says, do you understand what you're reading? Now, most of us use the very lame excuse is, I'm just too shy to talk to strangers. That's not true. You talk to strangers every day. You talk to people you know don't know all the time. We don't necessarily talk to them about Scripture. We don't talk to them about Jesus. We don't open up the conversation about, do you understand what you're reading? But Philip went. He was obedient. He saw where the guy was, and obviously he was reading Scripture. And so he just simply met him on common ground. Hey, do you know what you're reading? A lot of ways you could do that. If you fly, people reading a book. Hey, you notice it's a Christian author. Maybe it's a Bible. Maybe it's not. Maybe it's some book that has nothing to do with Scripture. What's your book about? Open up the conversation. Find out where they are spiritually. But this guy's particularly reading the Scripture, and he says, do you understand what you're reading? He says, how can I unless somebody tells me what it means, unless somebody guides me? Now remember, the Holy Spirit at this point, well, all the time, is still just for believers. Non-believers can't have the Holy Spirit, can't have Him today. So people that are hungry, God's working in their heart. He's beginning to draw this man and help him understand that there is a real God, there is a true God, and His name is Yahweh, Jehovah, and I want to know Him. But he doesn't know how. He goes to the temple, he hears Scripture, he hears lessons, it just makes more questions. It just creates more misunderstanding or lets him know he doesn't know much already. And there are tons of people out in the world that know Scripture, are spiritually hungry. God's working in their heart. That's why he brought you to them. That's why he creates that divine appointment for you. You know Jesus. You know Scripture. At least I hope you do. And he puts you there to help guide them in understanding who Jesus is. So Philip goes and he asks him, well, how can I understand this if somebody doesn't guide me? So Philip says, this is why God sent me here. I'm going to help him understand it. So he crawls up in the chariot, and he begins right where the man is with the questions he has. And the question was simple. Is the prophet Isaiah talking about himself, or is he talking about somebody else? Because he knew that the prophet Isaiah was a prophet, and he was persecuted by the Jews, by his own people. Okay, was he talking about his persecution, or is he talking about the persecution of somebody else? Is he talking about people rejecting him, or is he talking about somebody else being rejected? And so Philip begins right where he is, and he begins to preach Jesus to him. And see, that's where we have got to be willing to come to. Getting into conversations, maybe those divine appointments are with somebody you know, it may be a stranger. But God is going to place you in the path of somebody if you're willing, if you're desiring, if you say, God, help me meet somebody today that needs to hear about you. And if you really mean it, God's going to guide you to that place, and he's going to give you the opportunity. And when he does, just listen to them. Listen to their questions, and then take them to Scripture to share it, to explain it. Find out where they are, and from where they are, take them to Jesus. Whether it's a question about the sovereignty of God or the existence of God, is God real? Whatever it is, take them from where they are. The goal is always to take him to Jesus. And Philip took him from right where he was, and it says from that passage he preached Jesus to him. Everything in the Bible points to Jesus. If you start in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, to Revelations, whatever the end of that number of that passage is, the end of Revelations, from cover to cover, it all points to Jesus. So you can connect people with Jesus from no matter where they are in their understanding of Scripture. They may have no understanding of Scripture. Sometimes that's even easier. But you've got to be able to listen, you've got to be willing to listen to people. And the second thing is you've got to have the confidence that you know how to answer their question. Now, most of us, and most of the things I've heard from people, number one, I just can't talk strange, I'm too bashful. The second thing is a self-condemning statement. Well, I just don't know if I know of Scripture. And that's a terrible thing for a Christian to admit. We think it's an excuse, but it's a self-condemnation of my lack of study. If you're saved, your job is to read Scripture for yourself and so that you can live and not sin against God, but then to share that Scripture with somebody else, to answer their questions. So there's nothing more important for a Christian than to know Scripture. To read their Bible, to study their Bible. And I'm not talking about just sit down, read a few chapters, close the book, and go on. I'm talking about open their Bible, and whether you decide to start in Genesis chapter 1 and read all the way through it. Sometime in your life, I suggest you do that. One of the most helpful things for me, now I'm not one of those guys that's read through it 30 times, I'm trying to read through it again. But I have read it through from cover to cover one time, and it was so helpful to me because it gave me the big picture. Most of us, all of our life, we just kind of take the shotgun approach, and we take a little bit here, and 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 a little bit here. We may read a whole book here, if it's short enough, and we'll read a little portion of Psalms, or we'll read a little portion of Isaiah that's too long to sit down, and I can't commit to read the whole chapter, or the whole book. So we got all these pieces, and we're looking at a jigsaw puzzle, and we don't know how it all fits together. My wife loves to put jigsaw puzzle together. The bigger, the better. She got for Christmas, I think it was a 1,500-piece jigsaw puzzle. She poured that dude out all over the table, and all I could see was the pieces. She had the box there, and she had the picture on the front of the box, and so she could see the big picture, and it took her about 3 weeks. But she worked and she worked, and I'd go and I'd work a little bit. I'd get frustrated and I'd quit. She'd work and she'd work and she'd work and she'd work. And finally, because she could look at the picture, look at a piece. Oh, that looks like it might fit here. Oh, it didn't fit there. Must fit over here. Yeah, it fits there. And so looking at the big picture, all the little pieces, she could figure out how they fit together. But if she hadn't had the big picture, it would have been almost impossible to put those pieces together and find out where they fit. That's what happens to us. We read all these little snippets. We get all these little pieces of Scripture, and we never have the big picture because we won't commit to read the whole Bible from cover to cover. And so we don't have the big picture to compare it to. Where does this piece fit in the big picture? Where does this truth fit with the other truth that I read over here? And reconciling the Old Testament and New Testament. Somebody will come to you, well, doesn't the Bible have contradictions? Doesn't this passage contradict this passage? Well, if all you know is this passage and this passage, you think, well, it might. But when you see the big picture, you see how those two passages fit together. They're not contradictory, they're complementary. And they give you another portion of the picture. So read the whole Bible from cover to cover. Commit to it. You may not can do it in 1 year. You can. There's some reading guides that can help you do it. Find one, get to it. But then read it all the way through. Then commit to read it every day. And not just read it, but read it for understanding. And then as you read it, you think, okay, this is how it fits. Okay, what Paul said over here in Philippians about having the mind of Christ and humility. Yeah, washing the disciples' feet. Man, that's a beautiful picture of the mind of Christ and being humble and being forgiven and serving people. Great picture. Helps explain Philippians chapter 2. So you look at it to see the big picture and put the pieces together to make it all in that mosaic of the beautiful picture of God's pursuit of humanity and His salvation of mankind through Jesus Christ. It helps so much. But that's your responsibility. If you are saved by grace, if you are a member of the kingdom of God, if you're a family in the family of God, your responsibility is to know Scripture. And we're so quick to say, well, I don't know that I know enough Scripture to answer anybody's questions. Well, shame on you. That's a self-condemning statement, not an excuse. Get busy. Philip met this guy and he took him right where he was, led him to Jesus. And he simply answered his questions. Started out simple. Was Isaiah talking about himself or was he talking about somebody else? Most of us would say, oh, he was talking about Jesus and left it at that. Instead of explaining how he was talking about Jesus, how Jesus was the Son of God. And at the end, that's what his belief was in. His belief was in that Jesus was the Son of God. Because Philip took the time to explain Scripture, to answer his questions, and to guide him through who Jesus is. From the book of Isaiah, from one little passage, God was already at work. He just sent Philip there to seal the deal. You and I can do the same thing. It may take a longer process. It may not happen in one sitting. It may not happen where you come to somebody, they've got a question, it's a divine appointment. You answer their question, they may not be ready to accept Christ. They may still have some more questions. You may have to commit to say, hey, let's meet every week for lunch once a week. And let's answer these questions you've got. Great thing to do. Answer questions. It may be that, hey, this is just a chance meeting, and you answer their one question, God's got another person to answer the question. Paul said, some of you are saying you're of Apollo, some say you're of Paul, some say I'm of Jesus. Paul says, Apollo is nothing, I'm nothing. One plants, one waters, God brings the increase. You don't know if you're planting, watering, or fixing a harvest. But you're not going to do any of it if you're not listening for the divine appointment, if you're not preparing yourself by knowing Scripture. So if we're going to be witnesses for Christ, if we're going to share the gospel with people, then we've got to be committed to knowing Scripture. We've got to be committed to answering questions. Because today, especially the younger generation, under my generation, the next generation below me, You're not just going to share the gospel with them and them take it at face value. You're going to have to answer some questions. You're going to have to talk about evolution. You're going to have to talk about sin. You're going to have to talk about, well, what if a loving God? How could a loving God? You've got to be able to explain that from Scripture. That's why studying is so important. You cannot neglect any longer the studying and hiding the Word of God in your heart. It's an absolute must. But then, if we're committed to being instruments of salvation, if we're committed to sharing the gospel, then we've got to be willing to listen for divine appointments. We've got to be willing to set aside, hey, if it makes me late, it's okay. If it means I got to work twice as hard when I get there, that's okay. If it means I got to stay up late tonight and finish something up that I was planning on doing, it's okay. Nothing more important than sharing the gospel with somebody so that they might be saved. There's nothing on your agenda or mine that's more important than that. Second of all, we've got to be committed to knowing Scripture. We've got to study. Folks, it's imperative for your faithful walk with the Lord and for your ability to answer questions, because you're going to get them. You're going to get them from your own children. And if you can't answer your own children's questions about the Bible, who do you think is? Who's responsible for answering your kids' questions about Scripture? It's not mine. It's not their Sunday school teacher. Now, we want to help you. We want to be a resource. We want to add to what you're already teaching them. But God said in Deuteronomy, that's your responsibility. It's your responsibility to pass the Scripture on down to the next generation, to pass the faith, to teach them the Word of God. It's not mine. Bringing them to church and saying, teach them something. You're falling down on your responsibility. It's your job. So it starts at home. Practice with your kids. They got some great questions. They're going to ask you some stuff that you're going to have to dig for. But then be willing to listen. It'll prepare you for the questions you're going to get outside in the workplace or at school or at the ball field. Everybody's got questions. And we are responsible for answering. So part of the personal evangelism is making sure we're looking for divine appointments. Are you looking? Do you really care that if people die without the gospel, they're going to hell? That's what it boils down to. Do you really care that lost people are going to hell? And it's our responsibility to be road bumps. A lot of neighborhoods. I guess the best place to where all of us go, Walmart. You drive right in front of the building, what you got to do? You better slow down or you're going to tear the bottom out of your vehicle. Why? They got speed bumps. What are the speed bumps for? To keep you from running over pedestrians. To keep you from disaster. Well, that's what you and I are spiritually. We're to be the speed bumps for lost people. An evangelist once said that people may go to hell, but they ought to have to do it climbing over the bodies of Christians who are standing in their way. Are you in the way of people going to hell? Do they have to go around you or over you in order to get there? Are you determined that because you're saved and because you live in this day and time, that more people are going to go to heaven and fewer people are going to go to hell because you are here? That's why we were saved. That's why God formed His church. That's why He still has His church here, to be a speed bump on the road to hell to lost people. Let's be a good speed bump. They get past us one time, let's go head them off again. Get in front of them. Share the truth. Love on them. Point them to Jesus. And if they'll go to hell, if they continue to reject, it's not because you didn't try. Tonight, I want to end like this. I just want to end with us praying, number one, in repentance for our lack of concern for lost people. And if you're honest, we all struggle with it. Your preacher had to confess. Your preacher had to pray and repent. Because I'm not as concerned as I need to be about lost people. I get so busy trying to go see people in the hospital and go see people that are homebound and do this and study. And I don't talk to near enough lost people because I get too busy with things that I think the church expects me to do. The first thing the church ought to expect me to do is be out there with lost people. But I've got to want to. I've got to want to more. And I'm praying that God will burden my heart more for lost people. But you need that same burden. He saved you for that same reason. So we need to pray and just repent for our lack of concern. Second of all, we need to pray and repent for our lack of Bible knowledge. If you know it, you know it. And it gives you confidence. Our lack of confidence means we're not studying enough. Second thing, commit. We need to commit to listen for divine appointments. We need to commit to study our Bible. We need to commit to caring for lost people. We need to commit to being the church and fulfilling the purpose that God saved us for. Let's just reach lost people. Answer their questions. Point them to Jesus. Then invite them to church to get involved in a body of believers. Whether it's here, whether it's Mount Vernon, wherever it's closest to them, point them to a Bible-believing church and encourage them to get involved. We're all on the same team. I don't care where they go to church. Just go to church. If it's a Bible-teaching, believing church. And let's be the church that God died for us to be. Miss Wendy, if you'd come up and just softly play, so I don't care what it is. You can play some of the songs we've already did. You can pick a hymnal. I don't care. Just play for a minute so that we can just spend some time with the Lord and get refocused as individuals, refocused as a church on what really matters. Let's pray. Lord God, I do thank you for your great love. God, I thank you for your great patience with us. I thank you for the salvation that you have purchased and have so freely given to us. God, I do have to confess on our behalf and the church at whole, especially in America, God, we have forgotten what we're here for. We've forgotten what's most important. We've forgotten what brings you the greatest joy. Jesus himself said that all of heaven rejoices when one lost sheep is found, more than it rejoices over the 99 who did not need saving. So God, I pray that we would want to be a church that celebrates you, a church that you can celebrate as we share the gospel. Lord, transform our hearts. Teach us and grow us. Change us. Use us. I ask in Jesus' name. You just spend a few minutes praying. If you want to come up here, let's pray over a lost person you know. Whatever you want to do. Whatever God leads you to do.